You might still be celebrating the new year of the boar, but in the United States, another event is less than a year away, the year of the census. The first U.S. census, taken in 1790, it's developed over the years into a critical set of information that's used for everything from dispensing federal funds to shifting the allotment of congressional seats. HPR contributing editor Neil Milner's here with his segment, The Long View, which this morning takes a longer view of the census. And Neil, always a pretty significant undertaking and a bit different this time around.
Yeah, it's a very significant undertaking. By the way, what do you think a year of the census t-shirt would look like?
I wouldn't want to guess on what the animal would represent.
No, that's right. It's very important because if you just very simply look at the amount of money that's allocated, federal money that's allocated on the basis of census data, it's $750 billion, roughly. And there's all kinds of other things that the census does, reapportionment. So it's absolutely essential that the Senate, which is mandated by the Constitution, has to be fair and has to be accurate. In a recent piece in the Brookings Brief from the Brookings Institution Research, Alan Brew points out three very significant problems that the 2020 census faces and that really have to be solved pretty quickly because an endeavor like this, just having a few months to solve it is hard. One is technical. Hmm. Another is political. And the third is logistical. The technical one involves the fact that this census can be completed by Americans online. And that, of course, is a movement in the direction of efficiency at one level. And the problem, and you don't have to do it online. There's still going to be enumerators, and we'll get back to that. The problem seems to be this. First of all, it's access. There still are a lot of people, including people who are more likely to be poor, live in rural areas, and Hispanics who don't really have access to the necessary technical stuff.
Broadband.
Exactly.
People talk about food deserts in different areas. I mean, there are also technology deserts.
Absolutely. And attempts to alleviate it. They've tried to experiment by encouraging the libraries to have a place. And libraries are very active in this kind of thing. But it hasn't been very successful in bringing in the numbers. The other part of the problem of online is the problem with any kind of data online, and that is there's concerns about hacking, there's mm-hmm. concerns about privacy, there's concerns about false websites. You know, you get some phishing website that says it's the census website.
Sure.
And according to the Government Accountability Office, these are problems that are still significant. They haven't really worked them out very much. So that's the technical problem. The political problem, and it's the one that most people who follow it know, is the fact that the U.S. government, through the Census Department and through the Trump administration, has tried to include a very controversial question about whether you're a citizen or not. This has been a federal judge has stayed the question, said you can't ask that question. And he says that the Department of Commerce has violated so many rules in developing this kind of thing, not the least of which is that it lied why it did the question, but also because there is a congressional rule that says you can't add questions for which there are other sources of information.
And there are, by the way, I was interested to see that this used to be a census question back before 1950.
Yeah, I guess it was. And then they probably changed the rules. Now the question is so fraught. Now the question is about the partisanship that's developed over immigration. But I think the important thing to understand, as Baruch said, the evidence suggests that even if it's not asked now, it's going to dampen the response rate. And especially for people that are hard to find anyway, it's going to dampen the response rate. So that's another issue, again, about fairness and access to data and getting a true picture. The third one is it's a big endeavor, but anybody who's ever tried to start a new business will know what that's about, right? It's a logistical problem. How do you test out whether it works or not, and can you get the employees? So the original plan for this census is that you run two test runs, and test runs are pretty complicated. For budgetary reasons, they're down to one. So there is concern about that. The other part is that can you hire 500,000 enumerators? Now, that's not a bad gig.
And enumerators going door to door chasing down the last census answers.
I thought about that as a pension enhancer myself. Yeah. But the issue now is that it's a tight labor market, and whether you can get people to do it, you know, as a second job or not. My guess is here, where we're always looking for more, you know, for more side jobs, it may not be so hard. But still, that's a fairly significant factor, that you have to find that many people to do the legwork. So that's where the census stands right now, or wobbles right now.
Where it wobbles. And there are so many of those. You know, you bring up the political point in terms of the question about U.S. citizenship. And that is, a court has ruled it's on appeal. That may wind up as a Supreme Court case.
That is. It's undoubtedly going to be a Supreme Court case. And you have to keep in mind what the political context is here. There's clearly concern and some evidence that a lot of these kinds of issues in politics right now are about dampening the possibilities of people to do certain things, like voting. Mm. Now, the evidence that about voting limits, attempts to limit, isn't that strong, but still there's that kind of thing. And reapportionment has certainly become an issue that's much more partisan than it is before. So, you know, you get these kinds. If you have a legislative body that's going to do reapportionment on the basis of the census, and they're already biased in the direction of one party or another, but you've also dampened down certain kind of constituencies that can make even the unfairness greater. Now, there is a case in the U.S. Supreme Court about partisan apportionment right now, and it's not that clear that they're going to rule against it, because they've avoided the case in the past. But so that, I guess what I'm saying is that it's more political than it has been before. Questions that used to be asked have taken on different kinds of meaning. But even if you get through all of that, it's still an enormous endeavor that has some real challenges ahead of it.
And you mentioned, in terms of the financial impact on the other side of this, the use of the information, and you can't help but think about the potential for hacking and what this might represent in terms of attempting target. And as you said as well, fraud. In terms of phishing websites and all the rest.
No, that's absolutely right. And we're sort of at a stage in our relationship with social media where we don't have much faith in their ability to protect us from those sorts of things. Mark Zuckerberg, to the contrary, there isn't a lot of faith here. People still generally have a faith in elections. But remember how broad all of this kind of the implications are here, whether you're entitled to whether you're eligible for certain kind of housing allowances, whether you're eligible for certain kind of other things, and the enormous amount of knowledge that the census data presents to all of us. If you're starting a business, for example, and
it's valuable information.
And just think about how many times in your life you hear the term census data.
Yes.
And it's sort of something that just goes through your mind and leaves. It's an example of what we talked about a few weeks ago about the fifth risk, that one of the most important risks in American politics and American government is the risk that you don't have information about something that's could cause you problems later on. And that, in some ways, is an impossible problem to always solve. But with good census information, good information gathered by the census, it makes our lives a little bit more predictable.
It also provides context on a number of fronts, from policymakers to journalists as well. If you're looking for sourced information, the census data is always a
fine place. American Community Survey, for example, has got all kinds of stuff in it. And remember, we really rely on these kinds of things to get a portrait of what America is like. I don't mean the kind of portrait that you develop through storytelling, which is very important, but a kind of framework of how many poor people we have. What's the ethnic
difference? A starting point in so many fronts on a statistical snapshot,
absolutely.
The U.S. Census. Neil Milner, thanks for insights this week, as always. He is a retired professor of political science, contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. You can find out more on our Facebook page, The Conversation, HPR.